a lot of times I do post about mistakes I made, or, you know, I'm not your typical CEO. Like I'm flawed. And then they'll connect with me on that. Like, there's no better way to open up a conversation.
Hello, friend, and welcome. I'm Tammy Enfield, brand strategist, marketing expert, and creator of the Candid Content Framework. Through conversations with creators just like you and sharing stories from brands and thought leaders, we'll harness the power of authenticity and give you the confidence to create content that empowers you and your audience. If you're ready to build a kinder, more empathetic world, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Candid Content Revolution.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. I'm happy to be here with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Why don't you tell our guests who you are, what you do, where you're located at the moment, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Well, my name is Charlie Safro, and you know me from our retreat that we met each other on last April 2023. Yeah. And I think we both attended that for similar reasons. We are, you know, women that want empowerment and are excited about potential in our careers. And it was amazing to come together with like-minded women. So I own a recruiting firm. I started 14 years ago, kind of by a fluke. It was never really my intention to be an entrepreneur or to start a business, but opportunity knocked and I seized it and found myself building a company in the recruiting industry, but really with a specialized focus on trucking, logistics, and supply chain, which is a very male-dominated industry. So over the last 14 years, we've grown, we've expanded our services. I have about 30 employees right now, and we were in an office in the Chicago suburbs for a little over 10 years till the pandemic hit, and now we run fully virtually remote. And for me, it's been a dream. Like, I love it. Our team is productive. Our team feels trusted. So that's where I am today. I run our recruiting firm and really am passionate beyond just helping companies hire people, helping companies understand what it takes to retain people. And that's one thing where I think being a woman, I've been able to really bring out some empathy in our industry and lean into some of my femininity. And I do my best work, I'd say, with my team. So really using my team to understand employee engagement and culture and what it takes to attract and retain people, and then use those learnings to spread the word and educate our clients as well.
There's so much in that. So I admit we went to a Claim Your Light retreat with Jessica Zweig, and I went in there not really expecting much. Like, it was one of those, okay, I need to do something to turn the dial on my frequency, get around some other women who are doing big things. And we sat down in front of the big fireplace, and I won't forget it. I think I sat next to Hope, who's a friend of yours, we were just going over like who was sitting around the circle, and Hope and I kind of introduced each other and ourselves. And I said I was in social media, and she's like, "Oh, you'll like Charlie. She's a big deal on LinkedIn." And I was like, "Really?" Then I looked you up on LinkedIn. I was like, "Oh my God, now I'm intimidated. She has like 20,000 plus followers." And I was like, "Oh, like I need to figure out how the hell she did that so I can, you know, apply it to what we do." At Brand Yourself, but
it's so funny because I am so not a social media person. Like I once created a Facebook account just to join some group I was in, but like, I don't have a Facebook, not super active on Instagram, don't have a TikTok. And I think like with LinkedIn, you also have to give yourself grace and understand like, this is my business. And so like, I spent 10 years using LinkedIn to just connect and communicate with people aside from the actual like content and thought leadership. And so it's actually kind of ironic because I'm so anti-social media, except LinkedIn. And I don't know why I could, I justify it because it's part of our business.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place to be for your business for sure. So yeah, big deal. Charlie's a big deal on LinkedIn. I need to talk to her, but, the more I got to know you, the male dominated industry and you like walking in heels and gorgeous. And like, what is that? Okay. First of all, 10 years on LinkedIn, finding connections, you know, the goal of Candid Content Revolution, the goal of this podcast is to help people see how being authentic mm-hmm. on social media can help not only the people you're trying to find, right? Like you can connect virtually, create a digital influence, but also there's been studies that show that being authentic really helps you as the creator improve your mental health because you feel seen as who you are.
I've never thought of it that way, but like I can validate that 100%.
Yeah, like it's all these new studies coming out, like the more authentic you can be and show up, the less mental health issues you report.
Huh. That just like makes so much sense because it all does come back to imposter syndrome and us constantly being obsessed with this idea of like who we are, what we're here to do, how do other people perceive me versus how do I want to be perceived? And yeah, I would say that was pretty true for me where I definitely was like very private, not intentionally, but like, again, I just wasn't putting anything out there. And I actually learned the value was exactly the opposite of what I thought it would be. Like I thought I would feel narcissistic and kind of like ick about it. And the support, the engagement, the community taught me like, yes, people want to work with people. Like we've had a company page out there with our logo for 14 years. We've got, I don't know, 130,000 followers on LinkedIn, but that's not where we do business. Nobody wants to work with our logo. Who's behind it? Who's commenting? Who's posting? Like people want people. So that's a great way to say it though. There's so much added value I never thought of.
Yeah. And I do think that the framework that I've developed, the Candid Content Framework, I do think that when we're taught to write content, we're taught to write it for others. It's always make sure you understand your customer, make sure that you're connecting with them, make sure you're, you know, showing up with empathy, like all this stuff for other people. The thing that is completely forgotten in content is us as the creators and how it's making us feel. How authentic are we being? How daring or vulnerable? And like, does it make us happy? Are you looking at your content being like, bleh?
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of people that come to me and they're just like, my content doesn't reflect who I am anymore. You know, and there's just this, and your point to people don't want to follow brands. They want to follow humans is being seen now more than ever, especially with like AI and COVID and all the things. People want to know the humans behind the brand. So over the 14 years of owning your business, have you always been this like authentic and open? You're one of the most authentic people I follow on LinkedIn. And I love reading your, and I have no need for your services as of right now. Mm-hmm. Like Brand Yourself will not be needing a recruiting for supply chain individuals.
You right won't now. Need anyone for like your trucking terminal anytime soon.
Not yet. I mean, I'm not saying never, but if the opportunity arises, I know who to call.
Exactly.
But that's not why I follow you, right? Like I'm connected and I engage with your content because it makes me feel as a female entrepreneur, female business leader, mom, fam, like all the things. I feel connected to your content for other reasons than your business.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you always been that open on LinkedIn how did that evolve?
Yeah, it's a great question. And no, I was not always active. And I actually think back, like, I don't even know if this was LinkedIn's intention for their platform when they created it. Like I was an early adopter in probably 2009, 2010, and really used it for connections. I had my third son in 2011, and I actually give a lot of my LinkedIn success credit to when it was probably from 0 to 4 months, he would be up 3 times a night needing a bottle, needing to be changed. And when I would feed him, I would literally just sit on LinkedIn in front of a desktop computer, mind you, like with my infant sleeping and the bright lights from the computer, like so terrible, but connecting with people at 2 a.m, at 4 a.m. And it was just how I like stayed awake and killed time and kind of like gave myself like a little challenge. And I think I like gamified it, you know, like how many people can I connect with tonight while I feed the baby? And I never posted anything for years. I mean, we use LinkedIn as we grew our company to post jobs, to receive resumes and applications, to hunt people down, to communicate with them, and then obviously to secure business. And in 2019, well, let me back up for a minute. I did start to post maybe 2017, 2018, and that was encouraged by other people around me. And I'm going to say like a lot by like my LinkedIn rep, like the rep that helped our team with our recruiter product and, you know, managing our LinkedIn spend. He's like, you got to start posting stuff. Like you've got stuff to share. And so I stayed in my lane and I started posting stuff that I thought my audience wanted from me. And it was like 5 hot tips to interview or how to, you know, land your dream job or negotiate the offer you deserve. And I really was thinking like, I'm a recruiter. What do people want from me? How am I going to prove that they should hire me? Oh, it's by showing off my recruiting expertise or, you know, throwing in some industry content about, you know, where the trucking industry is. And I did that for probably a year. And I spent so much time doing that. And I look back at it and I laugh because it was literally, you know, within my creative limits, I was creating posts on PowerPoint and then doing screenshots and just uploading it. Like I didn't have Canva at this time. I didn't have any graphic designer, you know.
You're not alone in this. There are still people today using PowerPoint to
and just screenshot
their images and screenshotting them and uploading them. So Canva or not, people use what they're comfortable with, but
exactly.
And I do think a lot of people are still doing the what's my expertise? Five great tips on how to beat the Instagram algorithm. 4 things you should know before you write your posts. Like I still lean towards that sometimes if I'm not.
And it's like, it's justified. Like it's the right thinking process and the right self-awareness, but I would consistently get, I don't know, maybe 10 likes, okay, on every post I put out there, maybe a comment. But the one thing I'll give myself credit for is I didn't give up. Like, I didn't really care about the vanity metrics. I was like, I need to create content. And there was a little bit of it that was like, oh, me creating content for LinkedIn pushes me to now create content for our team and our newsletter, and we can, you know, recycle all this. But it was boring content. Like, it was just what I thought I was supposed to put out there. So long story short, I think it was 2019, my middle son created a TikTok with his friend. And like, it was a video you would expect to see on TikTok. It's 2 10-year-old boys dribbling basketballs to some rap music, and they both shoot it and it goes in the net like one after the other. And so, you know, kind of like just a whatever staged cool thing. So they posted on TikTok and it went viral. Like ESPN picked it up. I think they had like 8 million. Yeah, it was very cool for them. They had like 8 million likes in like hours.
Dream come true. They're YouTube stars now, right?
Exactly. Right. They created this account, Basketball Bros or whatever. But it was like a very cool 24 hours for them because it was picked up and people knew about it. And my son said to me, he's like, post this on LinkedIn because you have a lot of people on there that follow you. And I was like, that is not what LinkedIn is about. Like, it's a professional site. But then I was like, you know what? Like, why not? Like, I have kids. I'm proud of them. This is a cool video. And that was really my intention. So I posted on LinkedIn and it went viral on my feed. And I got to look at it. It probably has 2-3 million views at this point. And it's been a couple years. But
on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. But what happened was the comments really like taught me the value of letting people know me behind my professional image. And so people started commenting like, wait, you have kids? I didn't even know you had kids. Or I have a 10-year-old son too. Or I'm going to show this to my kid because he likes basketball. And then I started getting comments from people that were like, this is your kid? I saw him on ESPN. And all of a sudden, like my feed was just my DMs, everything flooded. And people were just like, thanks for making me smile today, or thanks for breaking up my boring feed and giving me something to at least like cheer me up, or something a little different to make me think. And so that was the post that really like turned it around for me. And I was like, wow, I felt all these years like sharing anything would be narcissistic, or like people would, you know, troll me, like take it to Facebook lady, you know, which I do get a lot of that. I do. Oh my God.
Oh no.
The more personal I get, I'll get DMs or comments where people are like, and what does this have to do with business? And it's like, sometimes I'm like, it doesn't, but like, this is how I think as a leader, and I'm vulnerable, and I think other people want to know that they're not alone. It doesn't have to always have a business lesson.
I can't wait for my first hater.
Right? Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you the strategies. You could block them. You could fight back. There's a lot of things you could do. So that was the post that like turned it around for me. And then following that, just a couple days later, my oldest son broke his arm in like a terrible break on the basketball court. And I had a picture of the x-ray with like these metal rods that they put in after they had to do emergency surgery. And I posted the picture of the x-ray, and I did make this one about business. And I was like, we can learn a lot from our kids. And whatever story I told in the content was how my son just like took this like no adult would. Like, he broke his arm, he's out for the season, all of his friends are playing, he is a righty, he can't write now, and he was like, you know what, I'll play next year. He's like, this stinks, but it happens. And his attitude was just so, it was so much to learn from his attitude. And that's what my post was about. And then that post went viral, not quite as viral as the TikTok, but those two posts together really just showed me like people want more. They want more than tips to interview. They want to know who I am. And can I prove an ROI from that week of posts? Yes. If I really wanted to look into it, like I can say confidently, we got business. Maybe it was a week later, maybe it was 2 years later, but people knew who I was and who our company was because of those two posts. And we were under the radar until then. And two posts that had nothing to do with what we do.
Recruiting. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, what some of your most recent posts, I should pull them up, but you share, you're really vulnerable when, I mean, not every post is super vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that is like the hardest hurdle I have to get women to be a bit more vulnerable, because they think, no, I need to remain professional. I want people to still take me seriously. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn isn't the place for that. I'll do that over on Facebook. And my whole thing is, no, people want to know your values as a leader. They want to know that like who they're doing business with might match their values.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the faces behind? So what advice do you have for people who are hesitating to post stories on LinkedIn?
My advice is to start with something you're comfortable with, but don't give up if it doesn't get immediate traction. Like, you have to do this consistently. When I say start with something you're comfortable with, you have to decide why you're doing it. And so LinkedIn is a game. All social media, I think, is a game. And like, that is one thing I will say is like, I've learned to play the game well. There was a time where if you would have said post a selfie on LinkedIn, I'd be like, God, no. Like, I'd rather close my LinkedIn account than put a selfie up. I have a selfie now at least once a week. And the reason I do it is because it's the game. People comment and engage with selfies. I write a story. I actually like try to make it relevant. But the truth is like, you have to play the game. And so another example I'll share, I think the most viral post I ever put out there is one, probably the post I'm least proud of. And it was a poll that said, what time do you wake up? And it went by, and it was like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., or 8 a.m. And the reason it went viral is because every single human can answer that question, versus other polls that are like, you know, what is your favorite part of the sales process, or whatever these polls are, you know, do you like coffee or tea? Maybe you don't like either, but everyone wakes up. And it is so elementary and so stupid, but millions of views and millions of
answers,
thousands of votes. Yeah. And So I'm not proud of it because I realized that, like, now I look back and I'm like, wow, like that was clickbait. It was total clickbait. But the comment section, you know, it was people saying like, I wake up at 4 a.m. Why isn't that an option? Like, people really felt empowered to like talk about the time they woke up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so then what I started doing is I understood the value of these kind of lame posts, I call them, but I'll put a lame post out there so I get a lot of views. But then the next day I'm going to post something that's really important to me. And it's probably going to be about, you know, employee engagement or, you know, maybe something about being a working mom or a woman in a male industry. And now I know that I'm going to get engagement because of the lame post the day before.
This is the algorithm.
And that's the game. Yep. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
I hope people heard that there is a place for lame posts.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the other thing I teach. Like, not every post can be super like vulnerable and hurt. Like, there's a place for memes.
Yep.
There is a place for those polls. There's a place for just an interesting stat.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else I've learned about the algorithm is you have to engage and you have to engage. I don't know the time frame, but I'm going to say within like the first 40 minutes. So when you put a post out there, if people start commenting and the author is not engaging, LinkedIn is going to shut that down. They want you to engage. So your networks start to see it. And I'm pretty strategic about that now, Tammy. Like, I know that if I'm traveling one day and I'm going to be on a plane and not able to engage, like, that's when I'll put something maybe lame up that will either, I don't need it to get a ton of engagement, but it still represents my brand, or it can kind of like, it's a poll. It can run on its own without me having to engage because people are naturally commenting. Yeah.
Do you write all of your own content?
I do. I think I'm crazy.
No, not at all. Coming from a social media marketer, I end up with a lot of people who are like, I don't know what to say anymore. I don't want to write it. You write it for me. And then I talk to them about it's important that they get on and engage. So a lot of my clients are really good at like when they start to see comments or whatever, they'll hop on because they'll get notifications. Like, make sure your notifications are on so that you can engage with.
Yeah.
Comments and stuff. But I love that you write all your own posts.
I do. I was on a webinar not too long ago with another executive who is very active on LinkedIn. And so somebody asked us that question and they said, absolutely not. I have a ghostwriter. I do an hour interview with them every month. I spit out all these topics that are important to me and then they create and post and engage for me. And they've got a great following and they get business from it. And then I answered and I was like, well, I write all my own posts. I pull my hair up out about it. There's blood, sweat, and tears. I stress about it every night before I go to bed, but I do it. And I exercise my writing muscle every day, which is important to me. And I get creative and I get out of my comfort zone. And if I really add up how many hours I've spent, most people would be like, that is the biggest waste of time, but it has taught me so much about me, about my community, and it truly has grown my business. So maybe a ghostwriter would produce the same results, but at this point, like, yeah, it's a part-time job, but it's important to me and there's value. So I'll keep doing it.
Oh, I love that you said it's a part-time job. It is hard. It's hard work.
It is. Yeah.
Do you think, back to our statistic from the beginning, do you think it's helped with maintain mental health for you? Do you think it's, I mean, I know even just owning a business is like an exercise in self-awareness. Like, being an entrepreneur is probably the best. If you want to get to know yourself, start a freaking business. But I do think like writing and really understanding what your values are and how you want to show up and what's important to you, like getting that out of you, it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm making some sort of a difference, even if like two people read it, but.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my goal. It's like, if I can influence one person, Yes, I do think it has helped in so many ways with my mental health. I think it's helped me with imposter syndrome. Like I can start, when someone at first was like, okay, if you're going to post on LinkedIn, what are your topics? And I was like, I don't know, recruiting, supply chain, transportation.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, okay, my topics are actually things I want to talk about. And being a working mom is a topic I'm living and passionate about. And I can talk about that. But also from like a mental health standpoint, I am very aware that when I post something on LinkedIn, it is out there forever. And the most important audience to me is my team. And I think it really holds me accountable that I do not want to be seen as a hypocrite. So if I'm going to start posting about, 4-day work weeks and, or work from home, like I better walk the talk. And so it's actually one evolved our business because if I come across something that I want to post, I'm like, let's explore this for our team. And then I'll have, some evidence of how it worked. But I'm also very aware of like, if I put it out there, it's in the universe and now I need to live up to it. So it's almost held me accountable as a leader because I'm hungry to put good advice out there, but I would never put out advice that I'm not taking. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's helped me in a way I never thought about before this conversation.
It's good.
Yeah.
We're often told, and I tell this to my clients all the time, like we teach what we most need to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was just having a conversation yesterday because my big thing is like, I help women stand out from behind their brands. And yet brand yourself's brand is literally a 500-pound mammal. Like it's a cow.
Right.
Like it's my brand is the ass end of a cow.
Yeah, there's something about that though. Like when I see your signature, like I associate it with your brand now. And yeah. I like
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. But for so many years, I thought I needed to build a brand that people recognized before me. Because if I was building, that's because we're taught by all, I started my business in 2011. So I've been in business for 13 years.
Yeah.
And we were taught at the time, like, don't make it about you. I mean, and this is, female, this is like all the things, but don't make it about you. If you're ever going to want to sell, it can't be your name. Make sure to put your team out there. People will think you're bigger. You'll get bigger business, better business if it's your logo first. And for so many years, I mean, you look at my YouTube channel, it is all Katie, who is an employee of mine. Mm. Like, and before that, it was, another Katie. I hire a lot of Katies in Cleveland. But finally, it was like, Tammy, what's the business missing? Oh, it's missing me. It's missing Tammy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true.
Yeah.
And that's been really hard for me. Like, I have been the face of our business for all these years. And like, rightfully so. It was my company. It is my baby. I care. I will always show up and give my best. But in the last 2 years, I've really started to explore more like thought leadership and being an advisor to our clients. So I have a team that, they own the recruiting day to day. They do it better than I could do it. We've established processes. We have systems. But I've really had to step back and be like, okay, what is my role? I did put myself out there for so many years. And now I'm trying to scale back and not separate from my business by any means, but offer our clients a different service that is not what we're known for and reinvent myself in that arena. But what I've realized is that it all does go back to like your core values, because it's not really my face. It's just, that's what people know. They know my initials. They know my name. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it a long time. I've worked with so many people, but I'm starting to realize like our clients are working with our team and they're like, I can see how you've influenced your team, or you've done a really good job building a consistent culture because your team members show up the way you used to show up. And so it's delegation, it's empowerment, it's hiring and recruiting, but it's really taught me like I can be replaceable, which is a good thing right now. For many years, I didn't want to be. And now I'm like, okay, but it's a weird thing in an entrepreneurial journey. I hear what you're saying. Like, you don't want to do it. Then you finally come out. And then there will be a point where it's like, but it can't only be Tammy because you only have so much capacity. So then you have to kind of pull back and figure out which seeds you want to leave.
Yeah.
But
I would say I've been on that journey since I found Jessica's book. Ironically, I think her book, her first B came out in 2019 and I devoured it and went deep into personal branding because I realized that I had built Brand Yourself into this really nice big digital marketing agency. And I was freaking bored. Mm-hmm. Like we were helping big clients. We were doing good things. We've always done good work. I don't think the value of our work suffered. I wanted more mm-hmm. out of like what I was like the thought leadership and how can I be more of who I am
yeah.
within the business. So it's like that I always call it like, there's like a 10 degree pivot that happens. I think at some point in an entrepreneurial journey, when you've built what you set out to build mm-hmm. and then it's okay, I've done this. Now, what part of this do I actually love the most? Mm-hmm. And how can I teach, talk, influence, write a book about like this one piece. And for me, we do digital marketing and branding. I love brand strategy, but for me, it is in the helping people feel seen, mm-hmm. whether it's you as the creator of all of this, like you really being, you know, seen as a leader, a thought leader and a mom and a working mom, like all the things or pieces of content that really make the people on the other side of the screen feel seen, because there's so much power in reading a piece of content that you feel completely held in.
So true. It is.
Yeah. And that's my whole thing. So how, you know, it's still content marketing. It's still content strategy. But it's just like that tiny.
Let me ask you a question though, because what you're saying resonates with me, where now I am doing more, you know, speaking. And we talked before we started recording, I gave a TED talk a couple weeks ago. I've never put so much work and effort and energy into anything I've ever done. And so I feel like it was a huge learning curve, process, challenge, but the reward was there. But at the end of the day, I don't get paid for that TED talk. Like I spent hours and hours and hours of my life. I hired a coach. I spent money. I don't get paid. So now it's up to me. I feel that is my best work yet because it is authentic to me. But it's authentic to me because it helps people feel seen and it does not translate to revenue yet. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, okay, my recruiting business will keep the revenue and I'm going to keep working this and leveraging it because it really does all go together. Like you can't recruit people if you don't know how to retain them.
Yeah,
and
well, tell us what your TED Talk was, the title of your TED Talk. So,
the title of my TED Talk was Business is Personal, Prioritizing Employees Pays Off. So it's this whole idea of we were raised to believe the customer is always right. And while I do believe in that principle, I really respect companies that they prioritize their employees and empower their employees to make the right decisions for the customer. So it's really, yes, the customer could be always right, but you need to keep your employees feeling like they're adding value, they're contributing to something bigger, they are important, and they're being seen and trusted.
And they go to work every day with purpose, and they know what that purpose is and how their personal values match the brand values.
Exactly.
You do a really good job of that. I think you and I have talked offline once or twice about that too. Like
the brand.
Walk the and the like making sure that your team knows your brand values, which is amazes me when I go into companies and team members on the floor don't know the C-suite values. It amazes me. But
So I want to ask you a question because like where I'm going with that is like I am going to continue to focus on this thing that I'm passionate about, even though it's not directly bringing in revenue yet. What you're saying is like you used to work business to business, and there's a lot more, you know, frivolous spending when it's business to business and marketing budgets and, you know, quotas they have to fill versus now you're moving, I'm assuming, business to consumer, even though some of your consumer clients might be business.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the title of the person would be, but it's mostly founder-led companies because the founder is like, you're the founder, it's a founder-led company. So it would be, yes, me helping you communicate your pivot in a way that helps leverage your personal brand to build your business.
So do you consider it like B2C or B2B?
I think it's still B2B. There are, you know, I'm still figuring that out a little bit. I've approached it as if it's still B2B, but maybe I need to think about that.
Well, I think it's still B2B, but it's just a different, I mean, I'll tell you in my experience with personal branding, I will commit a budget to marketing our company instantly. It will take me a year to justify investing in myself. Even if it benefits the company, it doesn't feel, it feels judged. I judge myself for it. You know, like, is this where we should be investing and what's it going to do for us? So my whole point is, like, kudos to you for doing what makes you happy and what,
I can't say it's been the most financial.
It will come. You just have to understand that that's your audience. Like there is hesitation, but
yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. My retainers definitely went down in dollars, but the work feels more meaningful.
And that's
like, I'm helping women leaders really talk about what they care about online. And for you, if it's like keeping the human, you know, front and foremost within your organization so that you can retain good people, like you're walking the walk, you're talking the talk. And I think leveraging your personal brand to build your business is gonna create brand awareness for CS Recruiting much faster than you putting ad budget behind the brand, right? So it's really like you'll cast a wider net with your personal brand. Not all of them are going to hire you for that.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
You may launch a speaking career. You may write a book. You may, you know, like most people I'm helping have either a book in mind, they're working on a book, or they've published their first book. A lot of them are saying corporate is not the way life is anymore. And we need to like allow for more human
behavior
and nature and feelings and all the things. So it's
exactly.
That's, I feel like this wave of like, let's double down on being human is coming, and social media is going to follow that trend. People are not following brands anymore.
No. And brands are now bots, and bots are people. But like someone said the other day, AI will replace commonality. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a really good way to sum it up, because bots can only be common without emotions. And that's where I think, I think it is like very therapeutic for me. Another thing, just to go back to like 5 questions ago that I feel like I haven't answered, but another thing that I will say has brought a lot of indirect value is icebreakers, conversation starters. Like, a lot of conversations I have are someone follows me on LinkedIn, or we met there or exchanged DMs, and they'll comment on something, and like, there's no better way to open up a conversation, and they'll comment on something that resonated with them. So like I put all this stuff out there about me, and then they'll come at me and be like, hey, I have 3 sons too. Let's talk about this. Or a lot of times I do post about mistakes I made, or, you know, I'm not your typical CEO. Like, I'm flawed. And then they'll connect with me on that. Like, hey, I saw you admitted to that stupid thing you did, and I did that once too. So
yeah, that's you're not alone in it. And thanks for letting me know I'm not alone in it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you think your biggest marketing tactic is word of mouth still?
It's word of mouth and recognition. Like, I've always believed what goes around comes around. And it's funny, I got a LinkedIn response to a message yesterday, and somebody responded and they're like, sorry, I never responded to your message you sent me in 2014, but I wasn't in a position to hire then. Now I am. And I like took a screenshot and I sent it to my team. And I'm like, this is why we do what we do. This is why we treat everyone with respect. And we, you know, connect with people. We make sure they know who we are when they need us, because not everyone needs a recruiter always. Like, so that's it's word of mouth, but it's also just like, I use this example that if a plumber rang my doorbell right now and said, hi, do you have any work for me? I'd be like, why are you here? I didn't call a plumber. Give me your business card. And then in a month when my toilet breaks, that plumber is the first one to get my business and the first one I'm going to think of. And that's kind of how I think of our business, like get out there and they will think of us when they need us.
Yeah. And I think that honestly, I think that's what, like, when you have something to say that connects with people, whether it's about recruiting and supply chain stuff or not, they're going to remember who you are and what you do no matter what. So like, I might never have a need for that business, but I do know and used to work with 2 trucking companies.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. So if they, if like if it ever came up in conversation, if it, you know, like Jean calls me and says, hey, I need some, like I call Charlie, you know, so it would be, that's where I think the word of mouth comes in more. And I don't know if people give social media credit for word of mouth.
No, I don't think they do. And I think that's the hardest part is we've matured our business. And, you know, I've brought other leaders into my team who do things much more professionally than I would. And they're like, where's the ROI? I can't show it.
You
right?
You can't. No.
I mean, you want me to spend hours digging through my DMs to be like, this person wrote me in 2010 and now we just made money off them. Like, I know it's there. But I think that's the hardest part is like, yes, it's all connected. But you'll never figure out if I post something and someone who's my third connection sees it and then someone in their network sees it, they're not going to say, this is how I got to you. They don't even know how they got to me.
No, right. Yeah. Well, I found you on LinkedIn or I found. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the other. Yeah. That's been the bane of my existence since I started Brand Yourself was trying to prove an ROI for social media other than like website traffic, which still website people land on a really shitty website.
Yeah.
And never call you like that. It's still not an appropriate reflection of an ROI. We can send people to your website. But it doesn't mean it's going to do anything.
There's very few things. I'm just thinking like there's like one thing we can track on LinkedIn is we host a lot of webinars. Mm-hmm. These are free webinars, really, you know, education for our community of job seekers or hiring managers. And when we promote it on LinkedIn, you know, we use one Zoom link. And then when we promote it via email, we use another. So we can look at that and be like, oh.
Look at all these people that came from LinkedIn.
Exactly. But I can't say this John Smith showed up and then we made $50 off him a year later. Like there's no way to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, back to one of the other questions in terms of like women who feel like they won't be seen as professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but what do you feel would be an appropriate like response to that? Like, I can't share that stuff, Charlie. That will make me look less of a leader, or that will, the executives in the C-suite I'm trying to sell to aren't going to want to see that.
I think part of what I am okay being known for is how I'm not perfect. I think that's like the easiest way to say it. And I expose that with my employees. I'll expose that with my clients. I mean, such a silly example, but once on LinkedIn, I posted, I meant to order a dozen bagels. So I put in the number 12 on an Instacart order, but instead I ordered a dozen bagels. So I have a picture where I opened my front door and there's 144 bagels sitting there when all I needed was like breakfast for my kids the next day. And like, I'll post that because it's like, who else does stupid stuff like this?
Yeah, for sure.
And no one got hurt. I didn't sacrifice anything or take any risks.
There's nothing about your intelligence.
No, it's just an innocent mistake that technology is tripping us up with. Like, you know, so stuff like that. It's like, if you're okay being known for that, and I actually like when people bring up that bagel story and want to talk about it because they usually have a similar story and then they make me
a connection. Well, and it's connection, instant connection.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say like, you have to figure out what you want to be known for. Somebody DM'd me the other day and said something about how they love that I talk a lot about being a mother. And they're like, I'm pregnant with my first son. And I wrote back, I'm like, in a year, you're going to be talking about your kid on LinkedIn. And they were like, absolutely not. My company will not allow that. I would be fired if I even went there. And I'm just like, that's so sad because
maybe you don't work for the right company then too, right? Like
Yeah. So there's a lot I would say to that woman, but I'd say you got to put yourself out there, dip your toe in the water and just see, like, put a selfie out there. And I guarantee you will understand the power of the community on LinkedIn, but put a selfie out there with a call
context.
To action.
Yeah. Not yes. just, that's why I always tell people too, like, don't share a quote if you're not going to tell me why it's important to you.
That's another thing I'll say real quick, is not everything you post has to be original. And I think that is one of the habits I've developed as a thought leader where, I mean, my screenshot folder on my phone is going to just burst open.
Explode. Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. Because I'm constantly
inspiration from something.
I get inspiration and I'm not afraid to give them credit. So like a lot of my LinkedIn posts are Adam Grant's reposts or something that Brené Brown put out there. And I wrote a story because of her story. And so I think that's something people just assume, like, I don't have all these creative ideas. Like, they don't all have to be your ideas. They just have to be the idea that you choose to share.
Well, yeah. And what you took from it or a lesson you learned, or even just like, I don't know why this really resonated with me, but it did. And now I feel like I need to.
Exactly.
Share it with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
I know we could, like, I've got like 8 hours of tips if you want to keep going, but clearly it's something I'm passionate about.
I just really want people to understand that, like, that the more authentic you are, and that word is so overused, but just, it just really allows for real connection. Cause you and I met in person first, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say that we had a full week of getting to know each other.
No. And we were both consumed by our own.
Our own stuffs. But now, like, since then, being able to follow you and learn more about you, and like, I would fly to Chicago and hang out, you know, with you as a friend because of how I know you on LinkedIn. And I can't say that's true for everybody at that retreat.
Huh. Uh-huh.
Right? Like, not everybody at the retreat shares like that. So it's like, I feel closer to you than some of the other women there, if that makes any sense.
It does, because I feel that way about the women on Instagram. Cause like, I'm like, if you're just following me on Instagram, you have no idea, but maybe a little bit, but you got to go back into the archives to figure me out. But yeah, it's like, I feel like I know about them. They may not know about me unless they're on LinkedIn, but you put a lot out there too. So I would say, like, I feel like I do know you so much better. And even like when we saw each other not that long ago, like, or this morning, I'm like, your daughter's gorgeous. Like, I know so much more about you than I knew when we first, I mean, we went into that thing blind. We had no idea.
Yeah, who was going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, that would have been interesting if we did do our stalking beforehand.
Beforehand? Yeah. I wonder what biases or judgment we would have come in with.
Right? Exactly.
All right. Let's move on to tips if you have time for a few.
I think I've said a lot of them, but I will kind of like recap them. Engage. Like, if you're going to put content out there that's important to you and you want it to be seen, you need to help push it out there. And it's just communicating with the people who are engaging. So I think that is one piece of advice. And if you post and you don't get engagement, post again and again. And I didn't say this yet, but another piece of advice is don't be afraid to reuse content. Just let some time sit so people are, you know, scrolling in your feed, seeing the same thing over and over. My other tips are play the game and, you know, let your guard down a little bit. If you have a reason for being on LinkedIn and a reason for wanting to create community, you've got to play the game a little bit. And it's not inauthentic. It's just knowing what works and what doesn't. And I have a male audience. If they like my selfies, I will keep posting them. I'm not doing anything that I'm, you know, not proud of. It's a picture
you?
Of me.
Yep.
Story. Exactly. Like, I'm not showing myself in a bikini. So, you know, you gotta put yourself out there and play the game a little bit and be okay with that, because that's where the results will come from. And maybe the game is just exposing, like, I'm a working mom for some people, or I hate cooking dinner, but I got to do it because I'm a working mom, you know, just play the game and put a little bit more out there.
Yeah. I love that. What's been your favorite authentic moment? I was going to say before this is that the tip to put yourself out there and to share a selfie, you didn't start with that.
I shared what I thought.
You shared your kids. Yeah.
No, well, yeah.
You shared your son's TikTok and then a picture of his bone break. So yeah. It wasn't necessarily you sharing a selfie, but you were sharing, I mean, the kids, some people aren't comfortable sharing their kids, but maybe a behind the scenes look at something.
Exactly. Like when people comment and they're like, I didn't even know you were a mom. Now, maybe they're just more interested in my content in general because they're like, oh, she is like us, or, you know, have that in common. So yeah, that's a really good point. It doesn't have to be, you don't start with selfies. I bet if you did, it would still get engagement. Yeah. That's just the name of the game right now.
I thought, yeah, it's interesting how the best posts I've seen are ones that are text only, no image.
Yeah. But again, that was really hot 2 years ago when polls were hot. And now LinkedIn is just, you know, like they're constantly changing it. I went through this whole phase where I posted videos when videos were not favored by the algorithm, and every single post tanked, and now videos do great. So
I was just going to ask how much video you've played with.
Yeah, videos are doing a lot better now than they used to. So that's just, playing that's the game crazy. And knowing the trends. And I would say my most authentic, I mean, there are a lot of people that I have met on LinkedIn. And when I meet them in real life, that is what it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is so cool that we've just been, you know, DM friends, or you comment on my post. And then I go to these conferences and it's like, I did put myself out there, but now I'm attracting people in and building genuine relationships because they feel comfortable approaching me.
Yeah, like people are good meeting you for coffee in the morning because they feel like that you're there.
They know me. Yeah, they think they do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
My pleasure. I love talking shop. So you tell me when you want to keep.
Oh, yeah. We'll have you on again for sure.
I love it. I love it.
For sure. For sure. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Friend, for listening. My thanks to Brand Out Loud Design for their audio branding and sound design. If you enjoyed the show and want to share it with others, why not leave us a 5-star review? And remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Enfield. And until next time, authentically yours. I'm Tammy, and this is the Candid Content Revolution.